CBS News. There are indications tonight that the Arab oil embargo will officially be lifted within the next week. And one Texas oil man told CBS News flatly that Saudi Arabia had agreed to sell oil to the United States. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Paige Ballard, president of the Baltex Oil and Gas Corporation, says he has a firm deal for 30 million barrels of Saudi Arabian oil to be shipped to the United States each month for the next 5 years. Ballard has no direct dealings with Saudi Arabia, which participated in the embargo, but worked through a bank in Malaysia. After the deal for 30 million barrels a month was worked out, Ballard asked about the possibility of the oil coming to the United States.
I went back to them and I told them that most of the companies here in the United States would like to have some of the oil, and since Secretary Kissinger was making such progress in negotiations, couldn't they please consider letting this oil come to the United States? Well, then they went back to their officials in Saudi Arabia, and they came back with the reply today that this oil is allowed to be used in the United States. And I said, oh, that's wonderful news.
Texas oil executive Paige Ballard saying Saudi Arabia has agreed to allow its oil to be shipped directly to the United States and loaded in the Persian Gulf by American ships. The availability of 30 million barrels a month alone would reduce America's oil shortage by at least one-third. When Secretary Kissinger landed in Washington tonight, sources close to the secretary speculated the oil embargo would end in about a week and full production would resume. Sources also speculated the price would drop to about $7 a barrel from the current almost $12 a barrel. The Texas oil executive, Paige Ballard, told CBS News he was paying about $8 a barrel for the Saudi Arabian oil he had purchased. U.S. officials revealed Monday night that Secretary Kissinger was the target of an apparent assassination attempt in Syria last week. The plot was foiled because Kissinger never made the planned visit to a mosque in Damascus. More news after this.
Yes, who is it?
Hi, I'm your new neighbor, Steve Williams, in 107.
Oh, how nice to meet you. Well, come on in. It's a pleasure.
Thank
you. I see you've got a measuring cup. And now let me guess, you ran out of sugar. You're a bachelor.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was wondering if I could borrow some prunes.
Prunes?
Prunes? I own.
Did I tell a joke? Yeah, I thought a couple.
There are still a lot of people who laugh at prunes. But now, quite a few are finding out how good they really are. Because pound for pound, prunes have 8 times the vitamin A of the leading fresh fruit. And more iron, niacin, and vitamin B2 than the 5 leading fresh fruits. They're also a great natural source of quick energy.
He wants to buy.
Well, thanks. Anyway, maybe I'll try 105.
Yeah.
California prunes. The funny fruit that does so much for you.
Former British Prime Minister Edward Heath, who resigned Monday, found himself homeless tonight and had to stay in a friend's apartment. The almost brutal speed with which outgoing British Prime Ministers are stripped of their privileges brought special difficulties for Heath. He had no private home and was living in an apartment in the official residence of No. 10 Downing Street. Heath resigned after failing to establish a coalition government.
For the last 3 days, my colleagues and I have been engaged in strenuous activity in an endeavor to create such a government between the Conservative and the Liberal parties. But in the event the Liberal Party has decided today that it is unable to join such a coalition, I have therefore tendered my resignation and that of the government to Her Majesty the Queen.
Former British Prime Minister Edward Heath. Harold Wilson is the new British Prime Minister. More after this.
This is Phyllis Diller. Playing comedy and being funny is my life. It's a role I love, mostly because it's a way to bring joy, a little happiness. Now, when you hear my voice, you expect a joke and a laugh. But my kind of laughs and jokes are no help at all to a very special kind of people. mentally retarded children. You can help by being someone who cares, someone who will help. With help, with proper training to stimulate his mind, and with love and patience, every single mentally retarded child can gain a better understanding of his world. But this takes a lot of work and so much time. It's a big job. There are more than 6 million mentally retarded children and adults in our country. Won't you help the people who are trying to get the job done? Your local association of the National Association for Retarded Children. Call them.
Judge Sirica will hear arguments Tuesday morning seeking to determine what to do with the sealed Watergate grand jury report. The information reportedly raises the possibility of Mr. Nixon's involvement in the cover-up. The grand jury had asked the report to be sent to the House Judiciary Committee, which is considering impeachment proceedings. The Cost of Living Council has lifted the freeze on car insurance rate increases, but ordered the industry to take into consideration reduced driving because of the energy crisis. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
This is Radio 97 News Headlines. Senator Mark Hatfield says he expects the Navy to announce soon that the practice bombing range in eastern Oregon near Boardman will be moved, clearing the way for nuclear power plants. State Representative Les Aucoin and a couple of others announced congressional ambitions today. And the political waters have been further muddied with some new speculation on candidates. Governor McCall will announce his emergency plans to deal with the gasoline shortage tomorrow afternoon. 4 Oregonians were killed in 2 separate traffic accidents today. And the Bureau of Land Management has accepted bids for leases to mine another 500,000 acres of Oregon land that may hold geothermal deposits. The Portland-Vancouver vicinity weather, cloudy with periods of rain at times tonight through Wednesday. Lows at night near 40 degrees, the highs in the upper 40s. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of measurable precipitation 90% tonight, 70% Tuesday. Currently downtown Portland, it's 48 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... E.G. Marshall. Welcome to a chilling insight into the powers of witchcraft and an ancient curse. Witchcraft today is an in thing with the young, which may appear somewhat incongruous since witches, demons, and warlocks are older than the beginning of recorded time. And somehow, despite all of society's maledictions and efforts to stamp it out, witchcraft has survived, as we will demonstrate in our spine-tingling tale.
Do you believe in demons, Miss Bell?
Frankly, no.
Do you believe in God, any God?
Of course.
Then you must also believe in angels. And demons, according to all we know about them, they are simply fallen angels, fixed eternally in evil. And although we may not know whether we are being fanned by airs from heaven or blasts from hell, it is best to be on guard. And having said that, I should not like to be Robert Anthony, whom you will meet very soon.
Our mystery drama, This Will Kill You, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Norman Rose and Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say bye!
To get the very best.
When you say but, you
You've said the word that means a lot to do it all. When you say but, it means you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. When you say but, you tell the world you know what makes it all the way. When you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is the other one. There's only something less, because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
One of the curses of mankind. Rage thickens the blood, assails the eardrums, racks the body with a mad urge to destroy. It has been said that whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. And that applies to all of us, even if some are on speaking terms with God or the devil. Witness a man who is consumed with rage. Theodore Rakatsi.
Obviously, you couldn't have heard me come in here. What are you breaking things for? Are you thinking of redecorating?
This is the wrong time to try to be amusing, Liz.
Well, what should I do? Ask if you've gone crazy?
Evidently, you have not read this filthy, ignorant, arrogant, vicious review of my book.
Oh, of course I have.
That presumptuous idiot, Robert Anthony, to write such a review.
Oh, come off it, Ted. You know, you sound like you're back to the Middle Ages. What are you going to do? Challenge him to a duel?
Oh, I have other powers, other resources.
You're serious.
Serious? After this review, let me read just one part to you. Mr. Rakotsi, possessor of an awesome reputation as an expert on witchcraft, in this unnecessarily long book titled Demons and Demonology, has gathered the wildest concoction of old wives' tales, superstitions, and demons ever brought before the public. And, what is worse, he has given credence to them. To take witchcraft as seriously as Mr. Ragazzi does is simply childish.
Ted, he's just another writer-reviewer trying to be clever.
Yes, at my expense.
At anybody's expense. You just happen to be the target of the day.
Mm-hmm. And now he is my target.
For what? A nasty letter to the editor?
For death.
Oh, sure. If you thought this review was bad, wait until you see the ones you get after you kill him.
I will not kill him.
Oh, that's a relief.
Liz, pick a date.
What?
Pick a date. Any date that comes to your mind. And the time. Write them down on this slip of paper.
What for?
Oh, to please me.
All right. What's today?
The 14th.
Here. Okay, will this do?
The 28th. 10:53 p.m. Yes, it will do beautifully. Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome. And now that we've finished playing games, can we go?
Of course. But the game is just about to begin. Have I ever remarked how well you drive, Liz?
Often, thank you.
I think that's what attracted me to you in the first place. Your driving and your legs.
I'm happy to see that you're feeling better.
Yes. Due to you, as usual.
I haven't done a thing.
Oh, yes, you have. You know that date you wrote down for me?
Yes.
But that is the exact date and time that Robert Anthony will die.
Oh, sorry I asked.
You don't believe me.
Oh, I thought you'd forgotten about that silly review.
Where are you going?
To the party. Ted, why did you ask me to write down the date?
Oh, a whim. It amused me to leave the amount of time that Anthony has left to live to mere chance.
Well, suppose I picked a date next year. Well,
that would have given Anthony more time. That's all.
You sound so certain.
I am.
What's the matter with me? Why am I talking as if there were any possibility that you have the power to kill another human being?
Why, indeed?
I can almost understand why Anthony wrote about your book the way he did.
Of course. Like Mr. Anthony, you also are a dabbler in the occult. Like him, you are an innocent, naive, playing like children with forces you neither understand nor respect. How about a bet?
On what?
On me and my powers against Robert Anthony.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, yes, you're afraid to trust your skepticism. It's very simply proven. If Anthony dies on the day and at the exact time we both know, then I win. If he doesn't, you are the victor. And you know once and for all that Theodore Recozzi is a fraud and a cheat.
That part tempts me.
Then I have your word. It is a bet.
What are we betting?
Your soul.
Anthony, you're not leaving the party already.
Well, I'm sorry, Carl. I just dropped by to meet your guests, but my publishers are getting uptight about my new book.
Well, everyone here is talking about the hatchet job you did on Recozzi.
Why do they think I've got a bone to pick with Recozzi?
Well, I've read a lot of reviews, but...
Look, I had a job to do, to review a book. I never even met the man. I took off because his book was so ponderous. Instead of writing a history of demons and demonology, which would be interesting, Recozzi wrote as if he were putting down facts.
Sorry if I touched a nerve.
It's all right, forget it. I just think there's entirely too much fuss about the review. I know a little about witchcraft, and I think it can be amusing, but...
Okay, but I hear Ricazzi's taking it very big.
Well, I don't want to hear that Ricazzi's out to get me with the same crazy demonic curse superstitious idiots believe in.
Well, let's forget Ricazzi. What about that play we cooked up?
Well, I just told you, Carl, my publishers are getting restless. I'm spending most of my time in the library. Look, can we put it off for a week or two?
Okay.
Fine. I've got to run. But I'll call, Carl. Just to let you know I'm still alive.
This is Jennifer Bell and another broadcast of The Author Speaks. My guest for today is the man who has written the most controversial book about devils and deviltry, Theodore Recozzi.
I am happy to be here.
Mr. Recozzi, I must confess your book scared the daylights out of me. Was that your intention?
No, not at all. My intention was to inform, to let people know that there are forces in this world that they may not have been aware of.
Oh, well, then you're serious in your thesis about demons and their power.
Oh, absolutely.
Which naturally leads me to that review by Robert Anthony. How did you feel about it?
Well, I would be less than honest if I said I was pleased, but it caused me only a small annoyance.
Really?
You are asking the wrong question.
Oh? Well, then set me straight.
You should not ask if I were annoyed about it, but rather how Uziel Rabdas Belet are angry about their powers being mocked.
Well, I'm not acquainted with those gentlemen you mentioned.
Which is just as well for you. You see, they are demons.
powerful demons, and if they take offense... Well, I should not like to be Mr. Robert Anthony.
You're predicting that some harm might come to Robert Anthony?
Well, I predict nothing.
Forgive me, but didn't you just issue a warning?
A warning is not a prediction. Do you believe in demons, Miss Bell?
Frankly, no.
Do you believe in God? Any God?
Of course.
Good. Then, of course, you must believe in angels. And demons, according to all we know about them, are simply fallen angels, turned away from God, fixed eternally in evil. I would like to inform you, madam, that a belief in the existence of angels and demons is an article of faith with two of our major world religions. All I say is that I should not like to be in the company of Robert Anthony during the next month.
Good morning. I see you have my books waiting for me, those five over there. Thank you. Well, today I ought to finish my research. I'm going to miss the peace and quiet of this library.
My name is Theodore Rakotsky. I called about a book you said you would have waiting. Ah, yes. Thank you. Oh, excuse me.
Yes?
It sounds absurd, I know, but I am superstitious about where I sit when I work here. Also, the light.
Oh, so, yes, it's okay. Sit right there.
Oh, yes, you're so kind. Oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive my clumsiness. I've knocked your books down. Let me help you.
Oh, it's all right. I can pick them up.
I cannot think how I could be so clumsy. Maybe I should wear glasses.
Don't worry about it. Accidents happen.
Yes, of course. This piece of paper is yours, I believe.
Oh, thank you.
Is something wrong?
You keep looking over your shoulder.
No. It's nothing. I don't feel well. It'll pass.
Oh, yes, of course.
Sir, can I help?
No. No, I think I need a little fresh air.
Oh, yes, of course.
Sir, your books. Oh, forget them. I'll be back when I feel better.
I must slow down. There's nothing following me. Nothing. Oh, that's better. Get some control. What's the matter with me? Why do I feel I'm being followed? I've got to get away.
Bob! Bob!
Oh, Carl, I...
What's with you? Trying to get yourself killed?
I guess it looked like it, didn't it?
Well...
No, it's nothing. Carl, believe me, I was in the library and suddenly I had a crazy impulse to start running.
Bob, what's the trouble?
Nothing. There's no trouble. It's just that,
What do you expect to find over your shoulder?
Nothing.
If I didn't know that your last novel sold over $1 million, I'd say you'd just held up a bank and were running away.
Look, forget the jokes, huh?
But,
I'm sorry. I really am, Carl. Leave me alone.
Whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. But are the gods desirous of destroying Robert Anthony, or the demons? And who are the demons that are driving him? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
the good, the bad, and the heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
What will it be, senor?
Give me the special K breakfast.
Here you go. Four special K, skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. Ah. Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my bowl and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of the sheer ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain. Fight the dust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
One of my favorite motion picture roles was the part of the girl in Psycho. I'm Janet Leigh. Tony Perkins played a character who was mentally ill. In my private life, I do quite a lot of volunteer work for mentally retarded children. And I've learned that many people confuse mental retardation with mental illness. Mentally retarded people are not mentally ill, not mentally disturbed at all. Actually, mentally retarded people just learn more slowly than most of us do, and each and every one can be taught to do many of the things that are necessary to a normal way of life. With help, many become self-sufficient, self-supporting members of their communities. It gives me great personal satisfaction when I am able to help a mentally retarded person even one small part of the way on the road toward independence. But it's a big job, and it's not an easy one. Will you join me in supporting the people who are trying to get the job done? Your local association of the National Association for Retarded Children. Thank you.
I am back to lead you along the dark roads of witchcraft. The demon-ridden Robert Anthony has turned to the 20th century remedy against magical spells, psychiatry, and is attempting to explain his terror to an eminent psychiatrist.
How can I make you understand, Doctor, how intensely real this fear is? I'm not imagining it. It's there. I feel it. Every minute I feel it. It's at my shoulder, behind my back, pressing in on me.
Of course.
Have you ever heard of anything like this before?
Nothing exactly similar, but fear is quite common. Most people are afraid of something.
But don't they know what they're afraid of?
They sometimes think they do.
And what do you tell them?
I think it would be best if you talk about yourself. You say you first felt this way about a week ago.
Yes, I was working in the library, and I suddenly felt I just had to get out and run.
Had anything happened that day to upset you? Anything out of the ordinary?
No, nothing, Doctor.
Have you felt this fear before? I mean, early in your life?
Well, just the usual, Doctor. You know, when my friends would dare me to jump over a large hole in the ground or something like that, but... Wait.
Yes?
Yes, I just remembered. When I went to college, there was a... suspension bridge, a shortcut from the campus to my dormitory. Everyone took it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night I was with some friends, and we came to the bridge, and it was out. There was only one single plank, and this was a deep, deep chasm, Doctor, maybe 100 feet.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to go back to walk around it, but the others voted against that. They all walked across. And I can remember how terrified I was. I got down on my hands and knees and crawled across the single plank with the water roaring below me. I was terrified.
You're afraid of heights?
Well, I'm not comfortable with them, but...
Would you say that today you're somewhere near the height of your profession as a writer?
Oh, come on, Doctor. This has nothing to do with any fear of heights. This is...
Yes?
This is witchcraft.
Interesting. Why do you say that?
Look, we've been through it.
The review you wrote on the Rakatsi book, Demons and Demonology?
Right.
Are you sorry you wrote such a scathing review?
No.
No?
Well, I don't know.
I think you are.
Well, if I was wrong, and possibly there are such demons and spells as Rakatsi describes in his book, that would or might account for this fear of mine, wouldn't it?
You mean you think Rakatsi might have put a spell on you?
Well, it's possible, isn't it?
Can't you think of another explanation?
Can you?
Yes. Let's examine what you've told me. On the one hand, you believe that Rakazzi has put some sort of a spell on you. Am I correct?
That's all I can think of, Doctor.
Why would he do that?
Well, because he...
Exactly. Because you have hurt him severely. So your statement that he wasn't injured by your review is false, isn't it?
Well...
Or illogical.
All right, it would seem so.
Very well. If you admit that to yourself. And then think that as a sensitive man... You've satisfied your own ego with a review that you think might be unfair. Where does that take us?
Doctor, do you believe that I feel so guilty that I run through the streets pursued by shadows? That I can't sleep because I feel a presence in my room? That I feel threatened every second of the day and it's getting worse by the minute? Do you really believe that?
It's a possibility.
Oh, no, no.
You'd rather believe in witchcraft. Why?
Doctor, you're not helping me.
If you'll examine your motive as to why you insist that Rakazzi has some power to cast a spell over you, then I
all
think...
All right, I'm getting out of here.
That won't help.
Neither do you. I tell you, I feel that I'm going to die, and you talk about guilt. I'm getting out.
Desperate men take desperate measures, and Robert Anthony was desperate. As he ran from what he thought pursued him, he held on to the last of his sanity. In his dabbling in witchcraft, he had heard, as had everyone interested in diabolism, of Professor Thurmond Anderson, an outstanding scholar and acknowledged authority in the field.
Professor Anderson?
Yes?
I'm Robert Anthony.
Oh, come in. I've been expecting you.
You have? Why?
Because I read your review and I know Rakazzi.
Oh, then you think he might have done something to me?
I think it probable that he has tried. I won't know until you tell me what's happened. Come in and sit down.
Thank you. Professor, do you think you can help?
First, tell me why you think Rakazzi has cast a spell.
Because as I sit here talking to you, I'm eaten up by fear. I have a feeling that something is following me, Professor. Something so terrible that I can't even imagine what it is. But I'm certain that it's going to kill me.
How long have you had this feeling?
About a week.
And can you remember when you first felt it?
Oh, yes, very vividly. It was in the library.
Do you know Rakazzi?
No.
No spell can be put upon you unless the Creator has... some contact with you. Did you meet him by chance, perhaps?
Well, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I haven't been very social this past week.
I can't even begin to think what it could be unless you give me something to go on. Did you have a chance encounter with anyone? Did a stranger bump into you, perhaps?
No, I... Oh, wait.
Yes?
In the library, there was a man with a slight accent.
Rakazzi has an accent.
Well, I remember he came over and asked if he could sit next to me, and as he sat down, he knocked over my books. He apologized, and he insisted on picking them up.
Anything else?
No. Yes. Yes, he gave me a piece of paper.
You took it?
Well, of course. I didn't remember whether I had... actually dropped it or not.
Do you have it?
Well, yes, because I remember looking at it when I got home and wondering what it was. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Well, can I see it?
Well, sure. There you are.
Good Lord.
What is it, Professor? What do you see?
The casting of the runes.
What? What does that mean?
I can't believe that even a man as vindictive as Rakazzi would do this.
Professor, what is it?
You see this writing?
Yes.
It is the runic alphabet. It represents an ancient death curse.
And those figures on it?
The date of your death.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It was used many centuries ago. There are stories of younger brothers using it to eliminate the rightful heir to the throne. It has earned the reputation of being one of the most powerful of all the ancient spells. The drawback, of course, was the absolute necessity of having the man or woman casting the runes to pass the curse on directly and have it accepted.
Oh, no, I won't believe that. This is the 20th century.
Careful! Lose this paper and you lose your only chance.
Chance? You mean there's something I can do?
One thing.
What is it?
Pass the curse to someone else.
This is unbelievable. If someone else told me about this conversation, I'd say we were both fit subjects for an insane asylum. No, I can't go on this way. Professor, how do I go about passing this on?
You have someone in mind?
Do I have to know a person?
No, you could pass it to a stranger.
Well, how?
Simply brush up against someone in the street or on a bus or subway. See that he drops something. Then pick it up, and along with the package, you pass this piece of paper saying, I believe this is yours. When they accept it, they have it, and you are rid of it.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that to anybody. I just couldn't.
Why not? If you don't believe in the curse.
I don't know about the curse. I can't believe that it will actually kill anyone, but I know how I feel. That is very real and horrible.
Well?
How much time do I have?
Today is the 23rd. The date here is the 28th. 10:53 p.m.
There's not a lot of time, is there?
Plenty, if you start to pass it now.
No, I just can't, Professor. I wouldn't give this to my worst enemy, let alone... Hold it. How about Rakazi?
I wondered how long you would take before you got around to that.
Yes, of course. I'll pass it back to him.
How?
Well, I'll just...
Exactly. Rakazi obviously knows you. He is going to be on his guard.
Well, can someone else pass it?
No. It must be passed directly.
There must be a way.
Hello?
Liz, Bob Anthony.
Oh.
Liz, I must see you.
I don't understand.
Well, I hate to sound like an old-fashioned melodrama, but it really is a matter of life and death.
All right. Where should we meet?
Someplace where we can talk. How about, Pichetti's?
Well, I don't think we should be seen together.
Well, that's not the kind of talk I had in mind, Liz.
I know. I still don't think we should be seen together.
You know? How?
How about the cafeteria at the zoo?
Yeah, okay, but Liz...
Half an hour. Okay, see you. I'm late.
No, you're not. I'm early. What would you like?
Oh, just coffee.
All right, I'll get it for you.
No, I really don't want anything. Why did you call me?
Liz, you wouldn't be surprised and go all girlish on me if I tell you it's because of your relationship with Rakazi.
No.
Okay. This is going to sound crazy.
Well, try me.
Liz, I have to know everything you know about Rakazi. Not personal things, but his schedule, his plans, that sort of thing.
Oh.
It's terribly important, Liz.
Yes.
You're not going to ask me why?
No.
When I said it was a matter of life and death, I meant that. You'll have to believe me, Liz.
Well, I do.
You're entitled to an explanation. And you do?
Yes.
You know, I'm making a fool of myself. I'm talking to the wrong person. I just never even considered for a moment that you'd be in it with him.
I'm not.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes?
Well, how?
I'd rather not discuss...
Well, you've got to, Liz. Don't you see that?
Isn't it enough for you to know that I realize you're in trouble and I want to help?
All right, now it's my turn to ask why.
No comment.
But, Liz...
You're wasting time in arguing... What can I do?
I've already told you. But don't you see that I'll feel better if...
If you can trust me.
Yes, exactly. This isn't just fun and games for me, Liz. It's
your life.
Then you are in on it, huh?
Look, I know about it. I'm involved, but I have as much to lose as you. Maybe more. And that's all I'm going to say.
Do you think he can do it?
More important, what makes you think he can?
Everything I know tells me he cannot.
But...
Everything I know, everything I've learned, everything that science says doesn't help stop the terrible feeling I have that something is after me, Liz. It's just waiting until it has...
10:53 p.m. on the 28th.
That's the date.
What makes you think I can help?
I have one chance to break whatever spell Rakazi has put on me.
And what's that?
It's just a slim chance, Liz, but a chance. Just take my word for that. If you do want to help, get me the information I want and need.
I'll try. How do I reach you?
Here. This number, mm-hmm. Anytime, day or night. If I'm not there, I'll get back to you in 5 minutes.
I'll try.
Thanks. And Liz...
Yes?
We haven't got much time.
Time is running out on Robert Anthony. Whatever it is that's following him, or what he honestly believes to be following him, has a target date. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Honey, just look at this fantastic buy I made. This came from a catalog at $47.45, and the manufacturer's list price is $89.95. I can't believe it.
Well, don't believe it. Your $47.45 price is pretty good. Only I've been looking around, and believe me, no one is selling them for list price.
You mean I was taken? I got a bad deal? Gosh, I wonder how I could really find out.
I'll help you.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. You know, catalogs sometimes list two prices for an item. One is the list price, and the other is what you pay. And the only way you can be sure is to shop around.
You are so smart.
Oh, not at all. Your Better Business Bureau is better information for consumers like you.
Poverty to me is not just a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of power. We want to try to see whether it's possible to live in the city. Whether or not it's possible to share life, you know, on a city street. The give and take of city living is what you might call it. Whether or not we could bring people together to begin to work together and confront the problems that are all our problems. I think really that the problems that people face in life can be solved. You don't need someone from outside to do it. And you really don't need a great deal of money to do it. What you do need is a lot of people who recognize that they have the ability to do something about the problem. Not by themselves, maybe, but working together and sharing their talents and their ideas. Together they can confront the problems and overcome them. That's what the Campaign for Human Development is all about.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Let us get back with Robert Anthony, under a spell, and convinced that he has now only 24 hours to live. The date set for his death is 10:53 p.m. on the 28th, and it is now the afternoon of the 27th. And Theodore Rakazi has a visitor.
Liz, come in, my dear, come in.
I took the chance that you'd be home.
Yes, and I am, and I'm delighted. Of course, I shan't be home for long. As you can see, my bags are all packed.
Where are you going?
To my little hideaway up in Purvis. You remember it?
Of course.
As a matter of fact, your dropping in might be called providential. I was going to call you to ask you to drive me.
When are you leaving?
tomorrow night, fairly early. I think it would be wise for me to be out of the city when Anthony meets the demons.
Oh, call it off, Ted.
I beg your pardon?
I'm asking you to call it off.
Call what off, dear Liz? You're much too modern and liberated a young woman actually to believe in demons. Or even more fantastic, that I can control them.
Don't fence with me, Ted. Call it off.
I wonder if I talked with Anthony today, would he write the same review of my book all over again? Or would he have a more open mind?
Why don't you ask him?
Well, I would like to. I would very much like to, but, it's not practical. By the way, you haven't said you would drive me up to Purdy's.
I cannot. I'm sorry. Ted, I really
cannot.
Want...
Liz, have you forgotten our little wager?
No.
Don't you think you might owe it to me to be with me when we hear the news of Anthony's death?
Ted, I'm asking you to call it off.
Your bet or...
The whole thing.
My dear, I would like to. I would really like to please you.
Well, then...
There are others involved.
I don't understand.
When you call upon these forces for help... You're taking a very serious step. It is understood that you're not indulging a whim. These forces do not like the idea of being used carelessly. They are not to be toyed with.
Oh, I'm sure you could do something.
It's really amazing how you have come full circle in your belief in my powers.
Would it help if I said I believe everything you claim?
It would be an immeasurable aid to my ego.
I mean, would it help change your mind about Anthony?
I admire you not asking to get out of our wager. I sincerely admire you for that.
Oh, save your admiration. I'm not asking to be released. I'm telling you that I'm not going through with it.
Oh, you disappoint me, Liz. You really do. But I don't think you can withdraw.
I can do what I want, and I don't want to play this game any longer.
You have no choice.
But I do. We're talking now about my soul. I don't know whether a person has a soul or not.
Take my word for it, Liz. You have a soul.
Oh, fine. But it's mine, and I'm not giving it to anyone.
You have already committed yourself.
To what? To a bet made on the spur of the moment and not in any seriousness. I only made it to keep you happy.
Whatever your motives, you made it. I intend to hold you to it.
Hold me to what? An oral agreement?
In the circles in which I move, it is binding.
And I say no.
And that is most unwise.
Are you threatening me?
Of course. I think you should know that I will be powerless to help if you should change your mind.
I'll remember that.
I advise you to keep it very strongly in mind. And along those lines... You won't change your mind about driving me to Purdy's?
I can't, really.
Then I shall have to take the train.
That seems obvious.
I'm going to ask another favor. For your own sake, it is necessary that you be with me the day after I have won my wager. I would take it kindly if you would get me a ticket on the 9:30 to Purdy's.
Ted, I
believe there is such a train. And then I'll give you the keys to my car... And you can drive up the following day.
What makes you think that...
Because of our relationship, I've been extraordinarily patient with you, Liz. Now, you will do me these favors. It may predispose me to have more patience with you on the day my wager is due. Liz, I've been waiting for your call. Do you have anything for me?
Well, I don't know whether or not it helps, but he's taking the 9:30 train to Purdy's on the 28th.
9:30? That doesn't give me much time.
For what?
For what I have to do. Liz, that makes it so close. Are you sure about the train and the time?
Positive. I bought the ticket myself.
9:30, huh?
Yes.
Now, that's going to be awfully close. Did he give any reason for picking that particular train?
Well, first he asked me to drive him up. I said I couldn't. And then he told me to get the train ticket. He said...
What? What did he say?
It's not important.
Liz, everything is important. What did he say?
He said that he wants to be out of town when it happens.
that makes sense.
Bob?
Yes?
It isn't going to happen, is it?
Liz, I'm trying.
Do you have, what do you honestly think of your chances?
A lot better now than before you called.
Is there anything else I can do?
Yes, pray for me.
And you for me.
What? Why? How are you in
trouble? Forget I said that.
How can I forget
it? Believe me if I tell you that my problem is... Well, it has something to do with you. But I'll be okay if you're okay.
Oh, you sound like a book title.
Well, at least you can joke.
I hope it isn't gallows humor. Liz, I've got a lot to do. I have a plan. I don't know whether it'll work, but it's made me feel that I can do something. And I'm going to do it.
Good luck.
Bob Anthony! I didn't believe it when you called. How can I help you?
I need a makeup job.
Or a TV appearance?
No. I must be disguised so that even my own mother wouldn't know me. Can you do that?
Well, maybe if you tell me what it's for, it might help.
No, I can't tell you. You'll have to take my word that it's deadly serious.
How long will you need to wear the disguise?
Oh, 4 hours at the outside.
How many people do you want to fool?
One. A man.
Uh-huh. How well does he know you?
Well, that's hard to say. He's not an intimate friend. In fact, I only met him once, but he knew me then.
Yeah, one more question.
Hmm?
How does this guy think of you?
Oh, I suppose he sees me as a young, smart aleck.
Good. So we have to make you old. Step into my parlor.
Okay. Aren't you going to lock it?
Okay. Sit in that chair over there. Yeah. Now, relax. You're too tense.
I'm sorry.
See, now, the hairpiece is no problem. Your head and hairline are easy. But, the eyes.
The eyes?
Exactly. With the hair you have, you can't have those alert brown eyes. Let me see. Watery blue with little veins running through them. Ah, yeah. Okay, now. Ever wear contact lenses?
No, of course not.
You'll love them. Slight effort. There. How's your vision?
Well, I can see.
Good. The wrinkles come last, and I think a little goatee. Yeah. Bushy beard wouldn't be right. Now just put your head back.
Grand Central Station in New York City at 9 o'clock of any evening is a dreary place. The waves of homebound commuters have washed away. The garish light serves only to point up the cruel deterioration of past grandeurs. The waiting rooms are almost empty. It was 9:20 exactly that Robert Anthony, carrying a small suitcase and disguised as an old man, walked slowly up to the ticket window.
Mount Kisco, one way, please.
Anthony walked slowly to the station platform where the 9:30 was about to depart. He wanted to be almost the last one to board the train so that he could locate the car that Rocazzi had selected. He boarded the train and passed through several cars, and then his pounding heart slowed. He saw Rocazzi, seated in the middle of the car, and with the seat next to him, vacant.
Excuse me, would you mind if I put my valise on the rack?
Oh, not at all. Let me help you.
Oh, it's very kind of you.
Not at all. You certainly got that close.
I'm afraid I don't walk as quickly as I used to. It's hard to get accustomed to growing old.
Yes, I suppose it is.
I hope you'll forgive an old man's curiosity, but that book you're reading...
The Dynamics of Witchcraft.
Yes, that subject has always fascinated me.
Me too. Did you ever study it?
No, but when I was younger, Halloween was my favorite holiday. You know, dressing up and trick-or-treating.
Yes, I know.
Oh, that
was such great
work. Yes, yes.
Well, I won't disturb you anymore. I know you're anxious to get on with your eating, but where are you getting off?
Purvis.
Is that before or after Mount Kisco?
After.
I wonder. I mean, I have a tendency to drowse off, you know. I wonder if when we reach Mount Kisco,
I will let you know.
Excuse me, is it...
The next station. Did you have a nice nap?
Oh, yes, yes. Very refreshing, thank you. I do hope my nephew will be at the station.
Yes, I'm sure he will.
Oh, what time is it?
20 past 10.
Are we on time?
Well, I don't know. I suppose so, but even if we're running late, I'm sure your nephew will wait.
Yes, I hope so. Now, when you get old, you seem to worry about everything.
The young have their worries.
But they're not the same, are they?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes a young man can worry himself almost to death.
Oh, that seems such a waste.
Or even worry about dying. Yes. I have known some young people who are simply terrified of dying.
Oh, I didn't think the young gave much thought to death.
Oh, some of them do. Some of them do indeed. Take my word for it.
That seems strange.
Strange? Old man, I could tell you stories that are beyond belief. Stories that... Well, I seem to be talking a lot.
Well, I enjoy it.
Thank you, but we're coming into Mount Kisco.
Oh, well, I've enjoyed talking to you. And now I'll just get my luggage from the rack. Oh my. Look what I've done. I've dropped my bag.
Here, let me help you.
No. It caused you too much trouble. I'll be able to... Oh, your book. I just seem to make things worse.
If you will let me do it, it will be much simpler.
Oh, yes. Thank you. But don't let me return your book. I believe this is yours.
Yes. And now you'd better start if you want to get off and meet your nephew.
Yes. Goodbye, and thank you. Wait, what?
You bastard. The paper.
Please. Go with me, my nephew.
Stop acting. You're Anthony. I know it.
Yes, you're right. And I'm getting off here.
Not until you tell me where you hid the curse. That paper you passed to me.
Miss your train.
Damn the train. Where is it? The paper. I'll do anything. But you know how close it is. This very little time. I beg you, please, for the love of God, tell me where you put that paper.
It's in the book. I slipped it in the book when I gave it back to you.
The book. Where? Oh, my God. Catch it, Anthony. Grab it.
No way, Ricosi. Get it yourself.
It's flowing away. You know I'm lost if I don't get that paper. Come back! I'll get you!
Ricosi! Look out! The train!
The end of our story of witchcraft and demons. The obituary notice said that Theodore Ricosi met his death when he inexplicably ran in front of a southbound express at the Mount Kisco station. Inexplicably? I'll be back shortly.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
I'm sure we all know what the force horses were that made Theodore Rakatsi run in front of the train that killed him. He panicked because of a superstitious belief in the supernatural. That, of course, is the explanation. Or is it? Our cast included Norman Rose, Larry Haynes, Evie Juster, Roger DeCoven, and Gil Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You claim to be an Indian. You talk about fighting and wars. Well, that would be before the white men came to this country.
I've never seen men like you and these others.
There's one small detail that troubles me. How does it happen you speak English?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I was returning to my people. They live near the banks of the Great River.
The Great River?
The Potomac.
Ah.
As I told you, something took place in the mist. I awoke. Now I am in a strange place. I find that I can speak the language, but I don't know what anything means. Where is this place? Who are you?
I'm your doctor, your friend. My name is Carl Stitzer.
And who am I?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. The time is 11 o'clock.
CBS News. As Secretary of State Kissinger returned to Washington Monday night from the Mideast, there were reports that the Arab oil embargo against the United States might be lifted in about a week. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Authoritative sources in Washington were quoted as saying, when the embargo is lifted, probably in about a week, prices are likely to drop from $11.65 a barrel to about $7 a barrel. The sources also told reporters that when the embargo is lifted, the oil supply to the U.S. will be plentiful. In Texas, an oil executive says that his company has made a deal with Saudi Arabia for 30 million barrels of Arabian oil to be shipped each month to the United States for the next 5 years. The executive, W. Page Ballard, of the Baltex Oil and Gas Corporation, says that a Malaysian bank handled the deal. Ballard says that bank officials told him the agreement would be firm 3 weeks after the contracts are signed, but no specific date is mentioned. More in a minute.
We've got to pitch in to clean up America, and if everybody keeps pitching in, we can call our America.
United States Brewers Association, P.O. Box 2570, Washington, D.C., 20013. Let's all pitch in.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy. and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
Britain's new Prime Minister Harold Wilson has invited leaders of the country's unions and industry for talks Tuesday at No. 10 Downing Street. It's Wilson's first move as Prime Minister in what's seen as an attempt to end the coal miners' strike and the three-day work week. Wilson moved into the Prime Minister's residence Monday night after Queen Elizabeth asked him to take over the government. And Wilson told reporters he intends to start right in.
We've got a job to do. We can only do that job as one people, and I'm going right in to start that job now.
Wilson took over after former Prime Minister Edward Heath was unable to form a coalition government and resigned. Heath says that he will support Wilson's government as best he can.
When I took office as Prime Minister in June 1970, I pledged myself and the government to the service of the nation. Now I renew that pledge. In the present difficulties, it must be right to set aside partisan differences and to act together. The new government can be assured of my support in whatever realistic measures it takes in the interests of all the people.
Former British Prime Minister Heath. The Senate voted twice on Monday against pay raises for its members. Roger Mudd reports.
On two lopsided votes, the Senate indicated it will not permit a scheduled federal pay raise to take effect. The first vote would have delayed the increase until next year after the election. That failed 71-17. The second vote would have increased salaries by 5.5% in 1 year rather than 7.5% in each of 3 years. That failed 62-26. So the message is that during an election year, the Senate does not dare increase its own salaries. There will be on Wednesday or Thursday a third vote, this one officially killing the pay raise, and that is expected to carry. The pay bill would have increased the salaries of members of Congress, federal judges, and about 15,000 top-ranking employees in the executive department. Not one member of the Senate who is up for re-election voted for an increase. Roger Mudd, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Back after this.
To a child who doesn't read, the world is a closed book. Drifting, dropping back, dropping out. That's why a nationwide organization named RIF, Reading is Fundamental, was formed. To help get books into the hands of children who have no books of their own. A book a child could pick out for himself, for keeps. A book that really belongs to him and makes him want to read. It works. There are more than 150 local RIF programs starting up in communities like yours. They're proving that once you get a child into books, there's no stopping him. Won't you help? Write to RIF Incorporated, that's RIF, care of Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
Federal Judge Sirica has scheduled an open hearing Wednesday morning in Washington to hear all interested parties state their views on a sealed report Sirica received from the Watergate grand jury. There have been reports that the sealed report contains the jury's conclusions on President Nixon's possible involvement in a Watergate cover-up. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The Oregonian newspaper reported today that Portland City Commissioner Lloyd Anderson will drop out of politics and become deputy executive director of the Port of Portland. Anderson had announced earlier that he was running for the 3rd congressional district seat now held by Edith Green. The newspaper says Anderson and Governor McCall are expected to make a joint announcement on the matter Wednesday. Meanwhile, the report on Commissioner Anderson gave rise to still another speculation. Multnomah County District Attorney Harl Haas has called a press conference for tomorrow to make an announcement on his political plans. Haas has already filed for governor, but politics watchers are saying he may drop out of that race and go after the 3rd district congressional seat. State Representative Les R. Coyne of Forest Grove today announced his plans to run for the first congressional district seat, and two other people revealed their congressional ambitions. The other new candidates announced today are former State Representative David Frost of Hillsboro. He'll seek the GOP nomination for Wendell Wyatt's seat, and Democrat Carlos Rivera, who says he wants the third congressional district seat now held by Edith Green. Senator Mark Hatfield says the Navy will announce soon that it will move its bombing range from Boardman in eastern Oregon. Hatfield says the Navy's expected announcement will pave the way for approval of construction of a nuclear power plant by Portland General Electric and further industrialization of the area. Governor McCaul heads for the National Governors Conference in Washington, D.C. Wednesday, but not before he reveals his plans on dealing with the gasoline situation. McCaul will hold a news conference tomorrow afternoon. He said today that he does not know details on the emergency energy plan, but that it will not include a gasless day requirement. McCaul had mentioned over the weekend that he might consider adopting a plan that required drivers to pick one day of each week during which they would not drive their cars. Four persons were killed in two separate traffic accidents on Oregon highways today, and another four are in critical condition from those wrecks. A car containing a Grants Pass family returning from a winter outing at Diamond Lake slid off snow-covered Oregon 62, 35 miles north of Medford today. Killed was 39-year-old Darrell A. Tribby of Grants Pass and his 12-year-old son Donald. In critical condition at Medford's Rogue Valley Hospital are his 32-year-old wife and 13-year-old son David. Receiving minor injuries was a daughter, 16-year-old Darlene. Killed when their small car hit a bridge abutment 2 miles north of Tillamook on Highway 101 today were 20-year-old Jenny L. Totten and a 30-year-old Mary J. Spidell, both of Garibaldi. Mrs. Totten's twin sons, 3-year-old David and Daniel, were taken to Portland's St. Vincent Hospital. David was reported in fair condition and Daniel in critical condition. Governor McCaul has challenged the new board members of the Tri-County Metropolitan Transit District to think ahead and move swiftly to deal with some of TriMet's most pressing problems. McCaul issued his charge to the board members he appointed just before he swore them into office, as their first meeting took place today. A top priority to McCaul is an increase in TriMet's rolling stock.
So we're working now on the points of a mandatory program that if the occasion rose, we'd be ready to put in the state of Oregon. And I've already said a number of times what the main components of that program would be. And we're adding a few...